Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It is time for your TNA Impact post show. It's March 7th, 2024. I am at Joel Pearl, and of course, I'm back. But you know who never left you? You know who's never going to leave your side, who's always going to be by it, who's always going to be there for the highs and the lows, for the good and the bad, for the sound checks and the squashes? Cresta Starr's here. Hi, Cresta. How are you?
I'm never going to give you up. I'm never, ever going to stop. I'm addicted to TNA. I was one of those naysayers who were like, TNA, I'll never watch it. But now here I am in the trenches. Now I know how you guys feel. I'm here. No TNA slander on my watch.
That's right. None. Never. I mean, maybe a little bit. TNA Sacrifices tomorrow. We are going to be doing a post show. It might be on Fightful Overbooked on our sister channel. So go check that out. YouTube.com/FightfulOverbooked.
Why would we? SmackDown.
You don't need to watch SmackDown. The Rock, what's he going to do? Tell a poop joke? Come on.
Me and The Rock have the same birthday. So technically, if you watch me, you're watching The Rock. So
that's how it works. Technically, if you watch me, you're watching James Storm by that same concept.
Or Joe Gacy.
No, he's not. We don't have the same birthday.
Oh, well then, I didn't know that. That makes sense. That makes sense with the joke I made. You know that makes sense.
Yes, James Storm and I are both June 1st babies. Anyway, TNA Sacrifice. Tomorrow we will be live. We will be doing a post show. It will probably be over at youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked, our sister channel. So I'm telling you now, whether you're listening in audio or you're watching us live, that's where the plan is. That's where we're going to be. Get excited for that, okay? Okay. Today, this episode, TNA Impact. This was the go-home show for TNA Sacrifice tomorrow night. What did you think overall? Because I felt very weird about this show.
Honestly, if they did not announce 400 times over the course of this show that Sacrifice was tomorrow, I would have thought this was a regular episode of Impact. I mean, I never complain about the in-ring work unless you're trolling. And they weren't trolling tonight. I even have something positive to say about Ashbaugh Elegance.
Oh, my God. I have more notes on her opponent than I do on the match itself.
That's crazy.
Isn't it? I did some deep dive. I was like, I know what's happening in this match, but let's think about Angel Blue. What's about her?
I put on my wrestling brain today. So I'm always sports entertained, you know? So, you know, we'll see how this goes.
Listen, I'm glad one of us put on our wrestling brain, but you know what? You don't need much of a brain to leave a thumbs up on the video and subscribe to us here at youtube.com/Fightful and over at Fightful Overbooked, where we'll do our TNA Sacrifice post show tomorrow night. And of course, your super chats. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air. We support ourselves by you supporting us. That's how we survive here on Fightful.com. And of course, you can go over to our humperchats.com, humperchats.com. Cresta, give them the rundown.
You head on over to humperchats.com. Much like with a super chat, you can put your dollar amount in, get your comment read on air, and we get to keep a little bit more of the money. You want me and Joel to go to WrestleMania, right? You want me and Joel to go to Rebellion, right? You want Joel Pearl and myself to go to Dynasty, right? Humperchats.com. Don't be a coward. That's not a threat. I'm sorry. I realized that was threatening. I'm a girl from the Bronx. Really? I'm sorry.
Why are you threatening these people?
I heard somewhere wrestling fans like that.
That's true. I mean, there are a lot of wrestling fans who are like, mommy, beat me up. And I'm like, not for me, but if it's for you, go ahead.
Give us $5.
Give me your money. Not me. You know what? Give me your money. Listen, I'll be up front right now. Did I think about going to Vegas for Rebellion? I thought about it. Then I remembered how much it cost. Did I think about going to WrestleMania in Philly this year? No, not really, to be honest, because it's a very busy weekend and Sean Ross Sapp's already there. Did I think about going to AEW Dynasty at St. Louis? Last time I went to St. Louis, it was very hot. I'd go again, maybe. Probably not going to go.
Listen, there may or may not be a trifecta of Fightful people thinking about going to Dynasty.
Sounds like a really bad idea to send.
Okay, that's fair. We're all terrible people.
I don't know what's going on. This is a bad idea. Anyway, we'll see where we land. I can tell you this much. Toronto, AEW Dynamite. I will probably be there. Might even be at a Collision in Ottawa, of all places, the Saturday before, because I might just go home for a day.
Period. I mean, you did just say Shoot Dad does need all of Joel Pearl's love. So, and, you know.
And Joel Pearl needs a night off once in a while from Shoot family. As we all do. Let's jump into Impact Wrestling. Let's jump into TNA. Let's talk about it. Opening contest, Mustafa Ali and Kevin Knight. This was a match that I was excited to watch because I heard it was quite good. Cresta, it was a very good match. And then it was overbooked to absolute hell. And I did not love that. But the rest of the match from the get was really good because it's Kevin Knight and it's Mustafa Ali and they're going to do really well. Let's just fast forward to the finish. Sabin Kushida in the good hands. They brawl in and out of the ring. Referee lets it go. And then Ali ends up knocking over Chris Sabin, who's doing tug of war with John Skyler for the X Division Championship. He grabs that title, knocks down Kevin Knight, pins him 1-2-3. Kevin Knight did not need to be knocked out to get pinned in this match. None of this needed to happen, but we're trying to set up whatever we're doing at Sacrifice, which has now changed 100 million times. So let's just talk about the match. What did you think? Let's go.
Okay, you brought up a good point about it really being overbooked at the end. I knew it was shenanigans when the good hands ran in the ring and then Motor City Machine Guns, I'm sorry, Time Splitters ran in Athens. I was like, this is shenanigans. But that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about the match, like you said. The scoop slam into the standing frog splash on Ali from Kevin Knight. Fantastic. This was X Division gold. This is what, literally, if this is the future Ali wanted, you know, maybe the good hands was on to something. I mean, they're not. We see that later on. They're clearly not. This match was really good. The top rope backstabber, after getting Kevin Knight off of the top rope, you could not pay me to take that move. What? And it was a beautiful visual too, because I thought he was going to do like a Spanish fly or something else, but a backstabber from that height, disgusting. But also, so Kevin Knight gets so much height going into the security off the rope, which I thought was really good. And that's when the shenanigans happened. And that's when I just became sports entertained. Those are my highlights. Joel, did you have any highlights from that match? Because I feel like if we go beat by beat, we'll talk about this match for 20 minutes.
Yeah, no, we don't have to go that far. The backstabber was fantastic. I love what you talked about. And of course, Knight getting the hop, sticking out everyone at ringside. That brings out good hands, Kushida and Sabin. That's fine. Kevin Knight has a giant sky high that he hits on Mustafa Ali. That was really, really well done. Again, it was such a good, solid match. And then it got overbooked at the end. And then post-match, you have the good hands holding down Kevin Knight's hand so that Ali can hit it with a 450. And then Shelly comes in. He runs off good hands of Mustafa Ali. And then backstage, which, by the way, they have a real doctor now. No more Dr. Ross. Now they have a legitimate doctor.
Period.
And the doctor said, we can't clear Kevin Knight ahead of Sacrifice. So Shelly, this is where it gets interesting. Alex Shelly says, I will replace Kevin Knight. But then he calls out Chris Sabin and he calls out Kushida for everything that happened. No surrender. And he's being a total dick here. He says, Sabin, you weren't there. You were too busy getting ready to lose your X Division title. Kushida, you weren't there. You threw in the towel during my match. What are we doing? I will preface my statements with this. Alex Shelley this past weekend has started turning heel on every indie he is a part of. I wouldn't be surprised if we're going to take it to TV too, and I'm not going to be upset if they do, because Alex Shelley being a full-blown heel is not a bad idea, and it could be very useful moving forward. What do you think?
My apologies. I didn't know what that was.
I heard it, but I heard right through it, so we're okay.
No, you're right. If I was Alex Shelley, I'd be mad too. I mean, yes and no. You're mad at your friend for defending his title and losing it. You're mad at your other friend for making sure you could walk again. I mean, I get it. You're mad, but you're mad for the wrong reasons. I get it. I get it. I'd be mad too. But if this leads to a heel, Motor City Machine Guns, or whatever it is, I'm kind of with it, because they were slowly turning heel before because they were both acting like jerks, for the lack of a better word. So I'd be with it. I think Kushida's catching a stray for no reason. I'm sorry your friend cared about you. Kushida catching a stray for no reason.
Wow. But also, like, you're kind of right. And again, this is... Alex Shelley has always been this paranoid dick when he had the title. You started seeing the teases after Slammiversary and going into it. Now it's kind of just moving into that territory. And I think at Sacrifice, and we'll run down the card and give our little predictions, you know, at the end of the show, at the end of talking about this episode of Impact, I feel like we'll see Shelley play into the finish and make a decision as to where he lands on the baby face or heel chart. I would love to see, just saying, love to see Shelley continue bringing out that bad guy persona, moving that forward. That's what I want.
Yeah, I've been watching long enough to only have seen face and tweener Shelley and Saban, who I'm like, these guys are too, like, and at their hardest of hearts, I see them as baby faces. So I'd be interested to see them do the Frankie Kazarian, because Frankie Kazarian healing it up too. So,
yeah, exactly. Dex Baker sent a super chat saying, asking what's Kevin Knight's contract status with New Japan Pro Wrestling, because if he's not locked in, it's crazy. You know what? That's going to be a great question for Sean. I'm going to ask. I can reach out to Kevin. I have his profile open right now. But regardless, he still does stuff with New Japan Pro Wrestling. I just don't think he's fully in use there because he's mostly stateside. That being said, we asked Kushida, hey, when are you going back to New Japan? Because you haven't worked there since last year, since like late 2023. And when we asked him in our interview going into Hard to Kill, he said, I'm not currently booked. And he's got a contract with New Japan Pro Wrestling and a contract with TNA. So I don't really know what the plans are for either man in terms of their New Japan booking. And also, if you look at the way New Japan's being run right now, basically you're better off running around with a giant goat on your head and saying that Tony Khan screwed you, and then you'll be fine.
I mean, I'm going to be real with you. I was going to say New Japan is kind of in shambles right now. So I think Kevin Knight is not too miffed about going right back right now.
House of Torture.
Clap, 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 clap.
The best. I'm so excited. House of Torture versus House of Black is on my bingo card this year, and I need it.
And this is going to be me watching it. The first 5 minutes, great. Nope.
Anyway, this isn't the AEW Collision Post Show. That's on Saturday nights. Ash by Elegance has a squash match against Angel Blue. You know that Angel Blue has been wrestling for 15 years?
That looked like a young lady, like she a does. Very young lady.
She does. She looked great. She did a great job. George Iceman cleaning off the boots after that spot where she's face washing her off the ropes. That was good stuff. But yeah, Angel Blue's been working Mission Pro Wrestling. She worked in Ring of Honor in 2014. This woman has worked a lot. Go check her cage match. Just go look it up. But anyway, she obviously does not win. Ash by Elegance wins, gets that rarefied air. And George Iceman chases everybody off and does all the ring announcing. And poor Jade. We'll talk more about Jade in a minute. What'd you think of this match with Ash?
Okay.
Elegance.
So since the debut, since before the debut, I was saying I'm gonna wait because I've been like, I don't want to see this. And I like to give peace a chance. First match, like whatever. Last week I was like, aye. This week, I'm still like, I don't care. However, I will say that there's potential here and I see it. your gimmick is very similar to Giselle Shaw's in the spotlight, and there can't be two of us here. Absolutely not. And I think when that happens, then I'll really begin to see it. Maybe it's the character. Maybe it's not for me. It's not clicking. And maybe I need to see it, not a squash match. And when that happens, I'll really see it. And I will also say this, and I mean this with the utmost love and respect. George Iceman is doing her a disservice, because I'm more excited to see George Iceman. He's being everything he needs to be. That being said, it's giving. Remember when Rhea Ripley was choking out Dominic for a while, and Dominic was so over because of that? It's not giving more Rhea. We need more Rhea Ripley to make the Dominic work, because Dominic is really overshadowed, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
This is the potential problem with Ash by Elegance in the presentation. It works now because of George, and it's really good. But unfortunately, George isn't the wrestler.
Yeah.
Ash comes in, and again, I put over the work that she's been doing, and that she's presenting a different wrestling style than the one that we've seen her with, you know, in WWE when she was Dana Brooke. She's doing something different. And again, I very much applaud that. I've wanted that out of wrestlers who make the jump from other companies. Mm-hmm. But if you're not talking and you're not emoting and you're not, you're relying effectively on a secondary person. If that secondary person goes away, what happens to the act? Especially when that act is basically making the wrestler. And that's not to say that it's going to happen that way. It can change in a heartbeat. It's just about writing it differently. But right now, George does steal the scene whenever he introduces her or announces she's the winner, raises her hand. All the interactions go to George. And that's fine for now. But it's not sustainable.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that she can't have a mouthpiece. There's been plenty of people who don't speak a lick and are still a draw. Brock Lesnar is the first one that comes to mind. You can have a Paul Heyman. Maybe if when she has a real match, and I say that with the utmost respect to her opponents, but like, I think that again, someone like a Giselle Shaw for her, that's when I'm gonna get it.
So that's what it's going to come down to, is when she breaks out of just beating up, you know, new girl of the week, that's when we potentially see where this is going. Right now, it's all about the presentation and it's making her a big deal. It's getting the character over and it's working. What happens after that, when she starts breaking into beating up, you know, the Xia Brookside and the Tasha Steeles, no offense to them. They're going to be in a Knockouts World Championship match coming up, but they were not featured heavily as number one contenders until recently. So when they were bottom of the card, that's who Ash would have been up against next. You know, after she does the flavor. I don't want to call them jobbers, but you know what I'm saying. Those talent, the enhancement talent. So I'm interested in seeing what happens next month or two when she starts having a real threat of what's the word?
Yeah. I want to see her versus Jody threat too. I think Jody Threat would heck her up.
I don't know what you're talking about, Jody Threat. It was a real threat of a time.
I was raised in hell. I was raised. It's a good theme song.
I know. I was supposed to see her in a couple of weeks. Steve Macklin, he calls in via Zoom, says he's been right all along, says that Nick Nemeth is a phony. He's a liar. He's a big, fat phony. And then he says, Nemeth's not going to show up, so neither am I. He doesn't. I'm like, well, it's kind of factual. And then all of a sudden, Nick Nemeth breaks into Macklin's hotel room, beats him up. And I'm thinking to myself, that could have been me.
Oh, my gosh.
That could have either happened to me. I could have done it. I could have had it happen. It totally changed my perspective in that moment. I did an interview with Steve Macklin in a hotel room.
You could have got beat up by Nick Nemeth.
I could have gotten beat up by Nick Nemeth.
And if he knew you were there, him and his brother would have been there. You would have got beat up by the Nemeth brothers.
Well, yes. Anyway, listen, it's a good segment. I think it gets the point across. And I do like that, again, Macklin is presenting facts in a weird way, because he's right about, like, if Nemeth's not going to show up to work, I ain't going to show up to work. And it's true. It's not. And then the other side of it is Nick Nemeth is going out and winning championships, but still coming back to work and doing his thing. And also, on the third hand, that is the nicest L-shaped couch I've ever seen in a hotel room. You don't see those very often. It's very nice.
He's a professional wrestler with professional wrestler money.
It's true. They do give them nice hotel rooms.
Huh. You see my house? I mean, Shaw's basement?
Well, then. It was a... Yeah, it was assault, but it was a good assault. Just also to stop using Zoom to do your promos. Just obviously, you need a better connection. You need that. You need that NordVPN. I'm not gonna go further than that.
I cried when the feed cut, because like you said, when he said I'm not showing to work, if he's not showing up to work, neither am I. And all I could think of in that moment is, that's cool, but Nick Nemeth isn't your boss, so like. His time off is not your time off, but you know, what do I know? I just get on the internet and talk about wrestling. When he attacked him and with the feed cut, I was like, Nick Nemeth, say you talking shit. And what happened? Who do you see? It was me. You didn't have to guess, it was me.
I love how he picks up the camera and he looks at it, and I'm just like, oh man, he's got great jawline going on
for no reason. He's got such good bone structure.
It's so frustrating when you
also like go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's just so frustrating because I'm like, if I shave this off, I got nothing. I just a dude with a face.
Ugh. We're all just dudes with a face.
We're all just dudes with a face.
It's worse to live by. We're all just dudes with a face.
It's true. It's the worst.
God. I will say the parting shot of Macklin laid out with the later please against his face. That's cinema. That's a t-shirt. Yeah. That's a t-shirt.
Anyway, that was the segment. They're going to have a magic sacrifice. Not a bad way to do it. I'm excited to see this particular match. Of all the matches on the card, this is probably my one or two of the night of what I'm looking forward to at Sacrifice. Good Hands and Time Splitters, they have a match. It's Kushida and Shelley against the Good Hands. Jade Chung gets cut off again.
She didn't deserve this tonight. She
just completely disrespected by all the talent. George does it twice. Good Hands do it. It's just so disrespectful.
It reminds me of Renee Young when she was doing interviews for a Hot Minute on AEW at the very beginning. And when she used to do interviews in WWE, they'd be like, yo, shut up, Renee. Like, yo, hey, not too much on Renee, bro. Like, even to us, like, yo, you know her husband's Josh Alexander, right? Watch your mouth.
Yeah, he's going to come out and just beat people up. You saw what that main event was tonight.
Dirty Dangle had to care about pro wrestling, bro.
We're going to talk about it. I was very uncomfortable with that. The Good Hands, though, are so underrated as a tag team, so much so that they got thrown out of their own six-man tag.
Bro, okay. Not the good luck on your future endeavors in real life.
And it's funny because going into this match, I'm like, man, working with Ali is going to raise their stock. It's going to be great. And then we see what happens next. We'll talk about that in a second. And again, the good storytelling is it's awkward at the beginning between Shelley and Kushida. And they start the match by being awkward and they play it well. And then they get back into their form of being a good tag team that knows how to work. And they have that synergy because it's like riding a bicycle and they can do it. And then Kushida taps out Jason Hotch while Shelley's blocking on the outside. And then right after the bell rings, it's awkward again. And they're just staring at each other. Like, it's almost like the bell rings and it flips that switch. Mm-hmm. And we're back to like the, I don't know how to feel about you moment. And I like that. I think it's worthwhile.
I'm a professional wrestler, but you also threw in the towel and you made me lose my thing to Moose. Only person losing worse to Moose is Eddie King. Not Eddie King. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My apologies. I meant Eddie Edwards. I meant Edward Edwards. Please. My apologies. Okay. Anyway, only thing worse than losing to Moose is losing to Eddie Edwards, bro. Like, you're my friend, and I know you had the best intentions. But the system, I'd be mad, too. I get paid to do this, but as soon as the match is over.
Pretty much. And then we go backstage. Good Hands walk up to Ali, and they say, you know, we lost. And sorry, but, you know. It was a fact-finding mission. Uh-huh. So everything's cool, right? And then Ali's like, well, thank you for your service. And now I realize that I've underestimated the Time Splitters. And so he says, good hands are out, and in walk GYV. And here's where I ruined it for myself. On our Fightful Select Discord, which, by the way, if you are a subscriber to Fightful Select, join our Discord because it's wonderful. We do have a TNA channel in there. We saw some of the matches that are being taped in Windsor. When I saw GYV were back, I said, oh.
Not the, oh, so, sorry, that, good hands.
At that point, it was one of two things. It was either, oh, they're going to work with GYV, or alternatively, they're going to come back and cost ABC in the other six man against the system, but that doesn't make as much sense. So I was like, oh, they're taking out the good hands. And so it's going to be GYV and Ali taking on Time Splitters, Time Machine, which honestly, it is an upgrade. I do want good hands to keep getting a spotlight, but if you really want to get people watching and talking, you can't really go wrong with Ali and GYV.
I'm going to be real with you too. Commentary was kind of foreshadowing it. They were like, you know, they're bandwagon riders. Remember when Bully Ray came? They were with Bully Ray. And when, who are they helping at? I feel like they were helping Steve Macklin. I feel like they also helped, who are they literally just helping before Ali?
Oh my God, who were they helping? I don't remember. Someone in the chat's going to remind us because we are bad at this.
At the end of the day, the good hands are literally that. They're good hands. And if you got a problem, I'm going to be here to make it worse. That's what the good hands do. Basically. So, I mean, while I do feel bad for them, John Skyler got it. Oh, Bully Ray, now is not the time. Food is in an hour. While John Skyler got it, Hotch was like, wow, he's so good. If I was him, I'd be like, yo, bro. I've been very violent tonight. The hands and the punches.
It's okay. People are into that. They're sending super chats because of it. Right.
Sending super slaps. Super slaps. Super
slaps. That's right. Or humper chats. But not anyway.
Please, cool. Joel. He's a Christian channel.
You maybe. I'm a Jew. But anyway, the point being here, it was Brian Myers, by the way, that we were thinking of. They were working with Brian Myers.
Under the learning tree. You're right.
Yeah, yeah, and then that all went to hell. Thank you, by the way, to who was that? Norbert pointed that out. Thank you very much. Let's get that. Dobby the Brain Heenan sent it a super chat earlier. Looking forward to heel Shelly. He's killing on the indies with that character. Also pumped to see GYV added to Ali. That match is going to hump, and that's exactly it. The potential for these changes is actually a pretty good move in terms of what's going on in TNA. So I'm fine with seeing GYV with Ali, and I'm fine with the potential of heel Alex Shelly, a fully committed heel, not just a oh my god, what are we doing this week type of guy.
It's gonna be fun. I can't wait to see him be a piece of crap. I love heels. I do,
of course. They get to have more fun. Dirty Dango promo, speaking of heels, says he and Fruitius are going to dominate the TNA and entire U.S. tag team division, and they're going to go down in the TNA Hall of Fame. Monty Brown, Amazing Red, Crimson, the Naturals. And he turns to Awful Bravo, and Bravo's like, draw Clark. I'm like, oh, that's right, RIP. And then anyway,
him Awful Bravo.
Alpha. Maybe
I thought you said Awful Bravo. Like, that's fair.
When I'm sleep deprived, my Canadian accent comes out. And then he says, under anyone under 1 year as a tag team, pay them, fight them. And then he's like, Josh Alexander wears a head. He says he's the main event. That's where I'm like, really? That's the main event?
He's Mr. Thursday Nights. Why wouldn't
That was very confusing about this. I thought RVD was Mr. Thursday Night. That's not important. He says, you know, Josh Alexander wears that head, the headgear. Does that mean he has no ears? And I'm like, that's a very good question. I'm glad he asked that. And then he says, Dango's going to watch the Indie Mark Nerds see him versus Alexander, and then they're going to want to join his school for $60 a head. And he's like, what's the name of the school? And Alpha Bravo's like, the Dirty Dango International Wrestling Academy of the Performing Arts, Sports Entertainment Arts, a.k.a. the DDIWAPASEA. If you smell what Oleg is cooking.
Respectfully, Joel, you're a nerd.
They pay me for it.
That's true. They pay you big bucks.
I wouldn't go that far. But I get paid to do it. This was fun. This was harmless. This was great. I'm so into the Dango presentation for all the reasons people hate it. And it's perfect for me. I love it.
I agree. I liked how he opened it up with, what is this, the Hardy compound? I'm like, all right. I know what this is going to give. You're an idiot. And it's like, even to this, like, how is this going to change your strategy versus Josh Alexander? And he was like, psh, Everyone's going to see it. They're going to want to join our school, which there's no email. There's no number. You're not even trying. I want to join your school. You're not even trying. Me and Iridian are ready to be a tag team, and you're missing all the big bucks.
I don't know if he's going to do any intergender wrestling. I know TNA does, but I don't know if Dango does.
I feel like Dango, a pit is a pit.
That's fair. Money is money. Hey, speaking of money, your $5 over at FightfulSelect.com will get you in the door, and you get all the exclusive news, huh? How about that? We get our Discord. We got all the info going up on there. We've got Okada and AEW news, including the contract terms, the how it came together, the why. We reported it first, by the way, over on FightfulSelect.com that Okada was headed to AEW. We have Matt Hardy contract news. We drop news all day, every day, and we have more than that. Content, because that's what we live on. That's what the world is now. Sour Graps every Monday and Friday. Sometimes they do a Saturday show too. Who knows? Sean does his Q&A every week and the Backstage Report, where he recaps the news and gives a little extra. And of course, the list goes on. And there's always stuff dropping every single day. Best $5 in the business, FightfulSelect.com. Get in there. Get it now. We're not going to charge you $60 ahead. You can if you want. You can give us $60 right now in a super chat. But if you want Fightful Select, it starts at $5 a month. You know who's not getting $5?
Who?
Masha Slamovich. She ate that pinfall, bro. Danny Luna with the upset of the night. But also, Knockouts tag titles are on the line at Sacrifice, so it makes sense. Each member of the team of Luna and Threat have a win over the corresponding partner from Masha and Killer Kelly and MKUltra. This was a good match, though. It went longer than I thought it would. It wasn't as distraction heavy as I thought it would be. And the rope assisted blue thunderbomb from Luna was fantastic. And she wins with the Luna landing. This was a fun match and a surprise ending. What do you think?
I honestly thought with Jody Threat beating Killer Kelly last week that for sure Masha Slamovich was going to win this week. To me, that makes sense. That being said, maybe it's the WWE trained brain in me. I'm like, oh, so they're definitely not winning tomorrow. Tomorrow, MK Ultra's retaining. And now I'm kind of like, are they?
Don't know.
Are they? I mean, I don't hate Jody Threat and Danny Luna as a tag team. My only source of trepidation is, like, I wouldn't hate them also even being champion, but like MK Ultra 2 over. And why are we playing ping pong with the titles? Why'd you? I don't know.
What's the rule that I tell you and the rest of our friends here who watch about a TNA special or pay-per-view or anything like that? What's the one golden rule I can guarantee?
There's always a change of at least one title.
One title. And I don't think it's that one. Okay. And when we get to the matches, we will talk about that. Okay. I don't think it's the Knockouts tag titles.
I don't think so either, considering that they just put them back on there. But again, this is TNA. Stranger things have been known to happen.
They love jumping around with those Knockouts tag titles, but I think they got it out of their system with Hard to Kill, and then they very quickly realized, oh no, MK Ultra is definitely the leaders in that division until somebody else comes along. Luna and Threat are absolutely on the path to do that, but it's still new. And it's still up and coming. It's not the same. It's just not the same. And whatever MJF is doing just continues to work.
It's because they're two strong, I feel like, singles competitors, stiff, strong singles competitors. And if you think about the match that brought them together, that brutal dog collar match, bounded by blood, it makes sense. Jody Threat and Danny Luna, I think Threat being with Luna helps Threats more. Let me reword that. Let's try this again. I think Danny Luna and Jody Threat together are a good tag team. I think that Danny will bring out something in Threat. And once that happens, then we might see a title change, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. And again, there's plenty of time to get there, and they can have multiple matches, and you might just see a best of three, not the same way they did ABC and GYV, but in that they will do three separate matches and come up every time. And then the third match is going to be the match where the titles change hand.
Yeah, I can see it. Maybe when they get their own theme music.
Oops. Hey, so this is funny. I wasn't on the show last week, and Alan Angels did his sound check.
Jace.
Do you know who came up with the name for Alan Angels' show called The Soundcheck?
The guys from Creed. I don't know. I just made that up.
So we did an interview with the guy who named the sound check. Do you know who it was?
Steve Maclin.
Fuego del Sol, former AEW superstar. We did a great interview with him on In the Weeds a few weeks ago, and he said he came up with it in a group chat, and he still hasn't been given his flowers. So here I am. Fuego, you did it. Now, honestly, never let them do it again.
This is on brand for Allen Angels. He took the name, didn't pay you. The set is terrible, so they clearly need you. You know, there is a no, get your money, sue him. Sue him.
Wow.
Sue him.
This all led into what was going on tonight, and that was Allen Angels versus PCO. PCO revival count is now at 291. After tomorrow night, it'll be 292. Allen Angels tries, PCO wins. Really, the post-match is all that matters. Khan comes out, tries to KO PCO with a chair. PCO punches it. Then Khan hip tosses PCO on the discarded chair. Angels tries for a high five, and instead Khan murders him. That is pretty much what happens when you break someone's neck. And then Khan and PCO duel with chairs on the stage because we've been here before at No Surrender 2 weeks ago. Listen, these two are hopefully going to have a fantastic No DQ match because I've been waiting for them to have a match that has absolutely no rules. Just let them fight. Big monsters. Beat the shit out of each other. I need it to be this match.
I want to go ahead and say Angel Blue had a longer match than Allen Angels.
That's a valid point.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I don't want to say this, but I enjoy watching Allen Angels get beat up. I'm so sorry. He's a good seller. His character lends itself to it. It's like, oh, you about to get beat up. Teehee. And PCO, why did you do what Khan did? Why are you letting them revive him? Jump him now. He has 3 seconds to 5 seconds where he has to revive. Jump him. Because if he gets up, it's over for you. And that's exactly what happened. Bless Allen Angel's heart. He tried. I'm not even going to go into my normal diatribe about like elder abuse, PCO, because I already know what's going to happen. Tomorrow that match is going to slap. So
that's the problem. It's going to be a really good match, but y'all are going to be like, oh, I want to see PCO versus Khan. Like, oh, but you will, and you will enjoy it. It's just like when Maclin took on PCO, and that was Maclin's first title defense at Under Siege, and everyone's like, oh, I want to see PCO. And then they beat the shit out of each other. And next thing you know, you're just like, nah, that was probably one of the best matches Impact had that year.
I'm not going to hold you. PCO and Eddie Edwards have that effect on me. It's like, and Bully Ray is like, and I don't want to see this. And then the match comes, it's like, ah, why are you guys such good wrestlers? Ah, darn.
That's pretty wild. We had a super chat. So Giselle Shaw, neither of these people were on the show tonight, but I think it's worth talking about. It's from Jana saying, Gail Kim and Giselle Shaw, two G's always messes me up. Gail Kim and Giselle Shaw should feud until Rebellion, or Giselle firing the Chantourage due to Gail and still losing, making zero sense. She's overdue for a title run and can't lose momentum. Have Gail put over Giselle, finally have her win the title. Now, I've talked about this before and I stand by it. Their last ditch to Deonna was absolutely do Gail Kim and Deonna at Hard to Kill for the Knockouts banner, not the title, but for like the banner of like Ultimate Knockout, Pass the Torch. Obviously not the case. Do it with Giselle. Don't know how long Giselle's going to stick around, but do it with Giselle. Do it at Rebellion. That is a top match and it has stakes, but the stakes aren't for the title. Instead, it's just who is the diva? Who is the Knockout? I want to see Gail Kim and Giselle Shaw, and I want it to be a statement match for Giselle Shaw because then she has to win the Knockouts World Championship.
I agree with that. I just don't think that that's now. It's hard to have someone take it off of Grace, and that's the problem with Grace. She's so good. And Giselle Shaw is great. She's phenomenal even. And watching her from when she came in till now, Spanish flies, you better. You better, Giselle. That being said, Jordynne Grace is, she's the AJ Styles of y'all at TNA division. I'ma say it. And y'all be doing seance circles sort of. And the only other person who was on her level at the time, and I'm not saying no one else is, was Deonna Purrazzo. So I think that we got unfinished business with Grace and Masha. But if Giselle took it off of Masha, who took it off of Grace?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know with Masha anymore. I just don't know what they're going to do with her.
I think once she goes back to being a singles competitor, I think we're all going to get reintroduced. That animal is still there. And while I love MK Ultra, I want to see Masha on a singles run. And when she goes on a singles run, the only outcome is she's got to beat the... Her and Grace have to have a bloodbath. And she's got to come out on top. That's the only way.
So I don't want people to misinterpret what I'm about to say. And this is not a dig. It's not a slight at anybody. And it's definitely not a slight at Masha Slamovich. I think Masha works extremely hard. Mm-hmm. I think Masha works extremely hard at being a very well-rounded professional wrestler in multiple companies at one time. Whereas Jordynne Grace mostly dedicates her time in wrestling to TNA. And again, that's not a bad thing because plenty of TNA wrestlers work plenty of different companies, but you can almost tell in most cases, the ones who are holding titles or who are holding main titles are not out there as much beyond TNA. Jordynne Grace, Moose, ABC, they kind of do, but they mostly stick to their locals. Those guys and girls are mostly sticking in TNA. Masha is JCW champion. She's not a cage fighting, but like a cage fighting wrestling type of hybrid champion. Like she's out there and it's a good thing and she loves it. That's great. But her run as a Knockouts World Champion might only happen if she decides that she's going to put most of her work into TNA. But she's also doing great work with MK Ultra and it's working. So like, well, you want to mess with that?
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
When she came in and everyone was waiting for her to beat the tar out of everyone, which she was doing, and then potentially winning the Knockouts World Championship at Bound for Glory, when that was going on, 100%, I was like, do it. Like, make her that killer. And then she didn't, and then she lost three more times, and everyone was like, maybe not.
I mean, it was good for Grace. I will say it was really good for Grace, because I thought, and you know I love Jordynne Grace. You know I love me some Jordynne Grace. I thought. And then when she toppled Grace, I was like, oh, Grace is hurt. Like, hey. But I think that if you beat Masha, same thing with Danny tonight. Like, okay, Danny. I think beating people like those girls are statement makers for your career. To circle back to the Giselle Shaw, Gail Kim thing, I think if Giselle Shaw does beat Gail Kim in any capacity, that's definitely a bragging right to say, you know, I deserve to be in the title picture. Yeah, I just lost to Jordynne Grace, but everybody lose to Jordynne Grace. She Jordynne Grace. Get out of here. Everybody lost to Jordynne Grace. So give me a shot again.
Everything comes around. It's okay. It's wrestling. I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. I'm interested in seeing what they do post MK Ultra with Masha and Killer Kelly, because Killer Kelly at the time was rudderless. She came in,
and
she was redhead pervert, and everyone was like, what are we doing? What is this?
And now there's two of them.
Now there's two of them, and they're just working together as redhead perverts, and it's great. But like, remember when this all started with, I'm just going to get rid of that.
Yeah, I'm going to get rid of that guy.
I gotcha. Anyway, when this all started, don't pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Remember when this all started, Killer Kelly was coming in and she was telling like Tasha Steeles, don't worry, you'll see when I'm coming. Okay. And everyone was like, and we were just like, she's just horny. We had a different name for her that, you know, we knew we shouldn't use, but we used it anyway. But anyway, the point being here, it didn't work for her until she roped in Masha. And then it worked.
Listen, 2-for-1 special sometimes. Sometimes you got to make it work that way. And I think Masha and Killer Kelly do have something special here. And I don't want them to break up. But I also feel like these are both single competitors who, when they do break up, that's going to be delicious. delicious. I think they've elevated each other in a sense.
Yeah. And again, they are well understanding of what this partnership, what this tag team has done for their careers and what it's done for TNA. And I think that's good. I think it's very good. I just don't know how quickly Masha's going to get into the Knockouts World title contendership after they finish up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it might be a little while. I could even see Masha. And I don't think it will happen, but I could see Masha beating up Crazy Steve for the digital media to prove a point.
I don't know.
That'd be a good match, but to prove a point. You know what I mean?
I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
Same.
But yeah, Giselle versus Gail Kim is a match that if Gail's good to go, I want to see it. And she did Impact 1000, and she's teasing some stuff on her socials. She'll bring up some wrestling stuff here and there. I don't know. I would like to see it. Maybe it will do it. I've been trying to clamor for a Gail Kim final TNA match forever. So let's finally do it so that I can shut my mouth and just say, hey, that was great. Let's go.
This is Joel Pearl. I can't wait to see how this turns out.
I might not be there in person, but I will be watching on bated breath. Eric Young cuts a promo. He's wearing a great death and pizza button from Dixon.com.
I didn't know what that shirt was, but that shirt was snazzy. Loved it.
Yeah, it was great. Shout out to Robert D. Felice, who works on the site, sent it to me and said, this is the shirt. And I said, not available in Canada, so I'm screwed. But if you can buy it,
send me that link, please.
I will say it's on my Twitter. I tagged Eric Young. I'm like, hey, where is this? Where did this come from? It's literally a photo of him, of Eric from tonight. Where did the shirt come from? And DeFelice found it. So it's on my Twitter. Just go there. I can't order it because it's
okay. I'll go afterward.
Anyway, Eric Young says he desires the world championship most, but he's not going to make a promise of victory at Sacrifice because he's not a young idiot, but he says he's going to keep coming forward and keep challenging, keep going after Moose. Puts over Moose and said the dead don't get deader because, you know, he's been killed before, and that's
true.
The EY part of things. Moose comes out and says, you know, EY, you've been around TNA for a very, very long time, but your time is over at Sacrifice. He says both men like a good fight, so he challenges EY to a good old-fashioned New Orleans street fight. Psych, out comes the system. They show it how it works. Myers and Edwards are in their best suits, and they beat up EY. Moose does the spear. Lish brings out the chain. Moose wraps himself in it, hits EY with a spear again. ABC make the save. Pretty paint by numbers go home promo. What do you think of this?
I hate the system.
That's what you're supposed to feel.
But they are all, this is the best. All of these are a group of people, unlikable people. This is a strong group of unlikable heels, but the system works, and I hate them, and I hate them for it. I'm so happy that these group of people are together. This is a really good group, and I hate it. And I hate it, Joel Pearl. I got to tell you, I wanted this for Honor No More. This is what I wanted for them. I hate these guys. So I'm with the crowd. F the system, but the system works. Lish coming down with, like, literally, it was giving shades of Vicky Guerrero. I'm ready to be annoying with this chain, and you can't take me. So good. The system, it works. I hate these guys in the best heel way possible. The system works, and I hate them. And I hate them. Wrestling sucks, but I hate it.
They got a lot of heat. They got a lot of momentum, and we're going to talk about that when we run down the Sacrifice card at the end of the show. By the way, ROH Supercard of Honor has a match already announced, and not going to spoil it, but it sounds like a hoot. And Dynasty also has its first match announced, not officially, not going to spoil it, but it sounds like a Crest of Star, what'd I say?
Hoot.
Dango versus Josh Alexander turns out to be a...
Hoot. Actually, this was a slapper. I was surprised. I thought it was going to be a squash at an angle. It was not.
Buddy, I was shocked. They went out. They had a very formidable main event. Dango was actually wrestling. And as I'm typing it out, I'm like, this is very strange to me, especially in a main event TNA Impact match. And not as soon as I finish typing that out, does Matthew Raywalt say, this is uncomfortable. And I'm like, that's the word, uncomfortable. I thought it was very good stuff. It was very interesting. It's a real wrestling match. Dango's wearing real wrestling pants, and he's working over a body part. if this doesn't play out into the stupid wrestling school that Dango's doing, I don't know what we're doing here. Of course, Josh Alexander wins. Of course, Oleg Prudius and Alpha Bravo get involved in the match, but that's not the point. They have a very well-worked match, and Alexander gets the win. Dirty Dango's going for the down and dirty, and then Alexander reverses it into the ankle lock for the win. Talk about this match, Cresta.
For a man that hates pro wrestling, man, was he out there pro wrestling tonight? This man was out here. He said, listen, I don't normally come to work, but tonight I got my work boots on, my work pants on, and I'm out here working in my super suit. I haven't seen Dango work seriously, I think, since he got here. TBH. I don't think he's, This was a good match. Commentary kept putting over that they're going back to where Josh Alexander had the biggest heartbreak of him having to relinquish his title, where he had the torn pec. And then I literally, as those words left, I think it was Hannafin's mouth, Dango started working over this man's arm, started working over this man's leg, slamming it into the post. I gotta give it up to Dango. For a guy that hates pro wrestling, he was out here working tonight. I do hope, like you said, this goes into the wrestling school, because for someone who's like, yeah, whatever, if this is the year, whatever, sign me up. I got under a year, bro. I got 0 years. Sign me up. I got a tag team, me and Iridian. I'm not kidding. Like, we got this. So, like, I hope it does play into it. Also, I want to give a special shout out to old boy getting yeeted off the top. Dango getting yeeted off to Alpha Bravo. And then Alexander does a moonsault senton into all three. And I'm like, you were like 9'9". Why are you? You can't do this.
It's very good. I just thought of something. Someone on our Fightful Select Discord asked me the other day, what happened to Johnny Swinger? What happened to Swingman? So for those who don't know, Swingman left after Impact Emergence. This was back in late August. It's actually the same day as AEW All In, because the show was that night and I was very confused. Anyway, Dango left for a personal matter, for a family matter. And I'm not speaking out of school, because Tommy Dreamer talked about it in the lead up to Impact 1000 and the match with Kenny King for the digital media.
Me, Swinger, not Dango.
Sorry, as Swinger, not Dango. You're right. Dango had challenged for something else. Anyway, not important. Swingman, thank you for correcting me.
I got you.
So Swingman had left, and so he hasn't been seen since. So people were asking him what's going on with Swingman. And like, I've wanted to ask, but also I'm not going to ask about a personal matter like that. And neither will someone like Sean. But regardless, we haven't seen Swingman since. Mm-hmm. What did Swingman have before he left Impact Wrestling? He had a wrestling school. He had the Swinger Dungeon. Dango is currently opening a wrestling school. And he's either picking up the mantle for Swingman, or Swinger's coming back and we're going to do Swinger and Dango. I hope, by the way, this is all contingent on, I hope to God that Johnny Swinger's doing okay, and that whatever, you know, had him leave Impact back in August of last year, I hope everything is okay. I would love to see him back. I'm very curious about this.
I know you fantasy booked that. Let's start there. I know you fantasy booked that. But now that's I gotta tell you, that's tough. You go into the school, it's like, all right, we're setting up, and you see it's a swing guy, like, who dressed this place up? Yeah, I hired this guy. Who'd you hire, Alpha Bravo? Hey, swing that. Ooh, that's PTNA. I'm sports entertained by that thought. Thank you.
So I'll put it out. So Swinger did work the WrestleCon Super Show this past November. So he's been around. He just hasn't been active since Thanksgiving weekend. If this brings him back, buddy, I am all for it.
Dango and Swingman, honestly. And in a seance circle, I want Zicky Dice back. Who, by the way, and no, I'm not being paid to plug this, he has some music on Spotify, which is actually really good if you like 80s synthwave.
So, okay.
There you go. I'm not paid. I'm not a shill. I just random cram across it. It's really
sure,
good.
Sure. I'm sure the check's in the mail from Zicky.
Yeah. Actually, right. He's texting me right now.
Yeah. Your Zelle just went off. anyway, I think that would be nice. I hope I just want to see it. Let's do it. Could we do it?
Yeah. Let's go. I'm like, PCO to me is synonymous with TNA. And low-key, so is Swing Daddy. So if PCO could be in main events, we could do a Swingers Dungeon with the Dango Dirty Swingers Dungeon. Disgusting. Never mind.
Yeah, no, we're getting weird now.
Not anyway. In a good way.
Before we get out of here, TNA Sacrifice. They're all the same show at this point. Sacrifice is tomorrow night. It's available on their YouTube. It's going to be available on Triller TV, TNA Plus. It's one of those specials that's not a pay-per-view. So if you're subscribed to one of the channels and you pay the $5 or whatever, you can watch the show. Or if you don't and you just want to keep up with TNA, we will be doing a post-show tomorrow night, probably on Fightful Overbooked. That's our sister channel. Go to youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked and subscribe to us there. We'll be live. We'll drop the audio on the main feed so no one's left out. But just letting you all know, Sacrifice tomorrow night, Friday, March the 8th. Let's run down this card. Let's give our thoughts. Here we go. For the TNA Knockouts World Championship, World Tag Team Championship, I should say, MK Ultra takes on Danny Luna and Jody Threats. Do we have new champions, Crescent Star?
I don't think, love. I think they got their wins this week and last week. Sorry, babes.
I think so, too. I think MK Ultra is going to keep those titles just for a little while longer. Mm-hmm. Notice qualification match, PCO versus Khan. Oh, buddy, they're going to beat the shit out of each other.
We, the fans, will begrudgingly win. You may say you don't want to watch it, but these two large men for about 7 to 8 minutes, because any more after that, nobody want to see that. I'm going to beat the hell out of each other. So my money's on Khan. PCO got nothing to prove.
The problem is, if you're going to put one of these guys in a world title position after the next pay-per-view and Moose is still the champion, PCO's the guy because he's the babyface.
I mean, I also... TNA is not uncommon for putting heel v heel. And honestly,
they ain't doing Khan versus Moose. They ain't doing that. Tell you that right now.
Whoever goes against Moose is going to lose because the system works.
Well, that's why you get PCO, because PCO is the babyface here.
Khan, no matter who you put against Moose, they the babyface. Nobody likes the system.
But Khan should win because Khan's supposed to be on the upswing and PCO is being revived for the 287th time. Sorry, I've gone backwards. The 292nd time tomorrow night.
Both of these are fair points. It doesn't matter who wins. They're going to lose against Moose. I'm sorry.
They're all going to be there. That's exactly it. Speaking of Moose, he defends his TNA World Championship against Eric Young. EY is technically at home, even though he lives in Nashville. He comes from Southern Ontario, so he's going to get a nice reaction. But EY winning the title? Probably not.
I low-key see, of all people screwing him over, Frankie Kazarian screwing him over.
Actually, that's a really good shout.
I don't know why. I think he'll fend off the system. He's not Bully Ray. He's not going to choke Lish. But you know what I mean? Like, he's not Bully Ray.
He is a real class maniac.
Yeah, but he's not there yet. He's not there. He hasn't crossed that threshold yet. That being said, I see Frankie Kazarian doing some real whack uncle stuff. Like, I beat this guy. How is he getting no, sir. I don't think Frankie will join the system. If he does, I will laugh. That being said, I see Frankie Kazarian causing Eric Young the loss here.
Yeah, I'm in agreement there. But either way, Moose retains.
Yeah.
And keeps his title. For the Knockouts World Championship, Jordynne Grace defends against Tasha Steelz and Xia Brookside. That was a left turn I didn't expect, because they had Tasha and Xia going best of three on the shows. And now they're just going to go for a three-way. I mean, Jordynne Grace is going to retain, but it's going to be, I'm assuming it's going to turn into a very good match.
Oh, this is going to be a great match. I feel like Xia going to eat that pin though. It's a rite of passage. Nothing wrong eating a pin.
It's true.
I would eat a pin from Jordynne Grace. Respectfully.
Happy belated birthday, Jordan. My co-host wants you to pin her.
I don't want to get beat up by Josh Gresham. Hold on. I don't want to get beat up. Respectfully, please. Respectfully, I don't want no beef. No beef. No beef. I'm vegan.
Speaking of beef, Josh Alexander takes on the returning Hammerstone. Hammerstone's back in the fold. They're going to do their second match. Here's the problem. Josh Alexander is beating literally everybody. But this is also their second. And when Will Ospreay and Josh Alexander did their thing, Ospreay won one, Alexander won the second. Time for Hammerstone to win one over Josh and move forward. What do you think?
I'm the winner here. Respectfully, again, I'm the winner here, because that last match was so great. And these are tall, meaty men slapping meat. unlike the Khan PCO match, this match will go 20 minutes and it's going to be me the whole time. I'm going to get gout watching this match and I cannot wait. I don't know. I know I do know. My heart says Hammerstone wins this. There's a third, and that's okay. Because at this point, Josh Alexander is God. He's TNA God. Then he could lose and it doesn't matter. You're Josh Alexander.
Especially to someone like Hammerstone. You do a third match, you make it a number one contendership, or you make it just some sort. You put a stake on it. There's going to be enough meat, but you got to add a little more. I could see Hammerstone winning this one.
Yeah, put him in a monstrous ball for the third one.
And it's his first official match with, like, as a signed talent. And, like, above all else, Crest of Star, they're making him work in Windsor, Ontario. You deserve that, V. You deserve that dub. If you're going to begin for your first official match under contract, you're working Windsor, Ontario. You deserve a big, fat Josh Alexander beating him dub.
Is this Canadian beef that I am not aware of?
Windsor's just the boring ass town. Sorry, Windsor. Sorry. It's just not. I'm not going because it's very far. It's 4 hours of driving away. It's Austin. Hammerstone winning seems to be where I fit into this. Let's move on. Six-man tag. Mustafa Ali and the grizzled young veterans are back. They're teaming up to take on Time Machine, Chris Sabin, Kushida, and Alex Shelley. We talked about this at the top of the show. It feels like Alex Shelley is going to cost his team, or they're going to lose, and then Alex Shelley is going to go absolutely ham. What do you think?
Someone's going to throw a wrench in that Time Machine, and they are all and that wrench's name is Alex Shelley. Okay? Listen, the Grizzly Young Veterans are great. Ali is great. Ali playing with the schmarmy politician? Oh, 10 out of 10. And I liked it before, but him firing the good hands the way he did, you're a piece of crap.
And here's the thing. I sat here with SB3 during the No Surrender post show, and I said anyone who trashed Mustafa Ali and Chris Sabin for not having a flying X Division championship match do not understand what Ali's doing as his character. That he will eventually be forced to have that Ali crazy ass flippy fly match, but he ain't doing it now because of this character. It's such a piece of garbage. It's such a heel, and heels don't fly like that. And it's so good, and it was so good at No Surrender, and I expect this match to do a little crazy, but not the same. And Grizzled Young Veteran, perfect, because they're not high flyers either, and Ali will do the ground game with them while the other three guys try to fly, and that works for me.
I agree 100% here with you, Joel. Not only do Ali and GYV take it, when Ali does have to break out peak X Division, it's going to be against a speedball. It's going to be against someone later on in his run where he could be like, you know, I've had it. This guy's crazy. I'm going to do option C, actually. You can have it, you little crazy flippy dude. I've had it. But before he does that, he might drop it to this person, whatever. You know what I'm trying to say? But it's going to be a slow build before we see Ali from 205 Live. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, we'll get there, but it ain't going to be immediately.
Yeah.
For the TNA World Tag Team Championships, ABC defend against the system. Edward Edwards and Brian Myers. Lish will be there, I'm sure. I think we have new tag team champions.
I don't think.
We ain't got any other options.
You going to put all the gold on the system?
Because it's going to pile on the heat, baby.
Okay. Let me take my personal feelings out of this because I'm a little jaded. I'm exhausted with one faction having all of the gold. It was cool when Undisputed did it. The Bloodline dragged their nuts across glass, and I kind of don't want to see that again. I'm being real with you, like, because it's cool for a minute and it proves a point. It proves a great point. But at some point, somebody got to lose something, and I could see it. You're right. It would bring so much heat. I could see it. But then I go back to, what are we doing with TNA's tag team division? Myers is a tag team. He's a loose woman, a loose man, if you will, when it comes to tag team partner. Everybody Myers tag team partner. So, like, what are we doing here? You got a legit team that used to be a Frankie team that y'all just changed the music for. Damn it, the system's going to win those titles. So,
after our TNA No Surrender post show, SP3 and I were talking about this on the air when we talked about GYV versus ABC. And I said, GYV didn't win because I guess they were done. They didn't sign and they're not sticking around. Well, obviously I was wrong about that and some things changed and they're working Windsor. Great. Wonderful. ABC have been holding those tag team titles for a little while. And there was a Rascals, you know, they deferred, went to the Rascals for a bit. And they came back to ABC. The ABC is a babyface tag team. Most of the tag teams kicking around TNA right now are heels. You need to flip-flop and start letting the babyfaces go after a heel tag team. And that's the system. And it just works because that's the way it's supposed to be.
And the system works.
And that's the system. And the system right now is that they're all bad guys. And then every good babyface tag team you have is kind of floundering because they can't do anything. They can face each other, but there's no story going after ABC because there's no good guy, bad guy. Like there's no story to attach to it. But everyone goes after the system because they're so dominant. There you go.
I hate that you're right. And I see the first victims being Mustache Speedball Mountain or Mustache Speedball, Speedball Bus. I don't like it because I like Trent Seven. I like Speedball. And again, the system being heels, it works. And I don't want y'all to win. And I already hate it. I already hate it. I already hate it in a good way, but I already hate it.
But that's what you're going to see. Nick Nemeth takes on Steve Maclin in, I don't think it's the main event, but it's definitely, to me, one of the more interesting matches. Because if you don't know, Steve Macklin's deal with TNA is up soon. His contract is coming due. We don't know if he's going to re-sign or stick around, sign extension, whatever it is. I'm sure we will know eventually. But as of right now, Nick Nemeth is on the rise and Steve Maclin is not. He's got fewer dates ahead of him than Nick Nemeth does. We'll put it like that. Nick Nemeth is also hot on the indies right now. Just won the IWGP Global Championship. I thought this match was actually going to be for that championship because Nemeth was like, I want to defend it everywhere. And I'm sure New Japan was like, yes, everywhere. But so with that in mind, Maclin versus Nemeth, this was the first big test for Nemeth we talked about. It feels like this is Nemeth's to win. What do you think?
It is. But I'm beginning to get a soft spot for Maclin now. Listen. I'm a wrestling fan. I'm a dirty flip-flop, okay? I'm a dirty flip-flop on the side of the road that should have been thrown in the trash, all right? That being said, I don't know. I kind of was expecting more for Maclin to have more of a dominant run the way that they built him. I get why things were moved up so fast with Alexander being injured and whatnot. I get that. I also get why Nemeth is going to win. I don't know. That's crazy. Me capping for Maclin, that's crazy. That's crazy. I want Maclin to win this. I want Maclin to prove to Nemeth that no matter what, you're not taking. I feel the storyline. Like, we come from the same cloth. It didn't work out the way we wanted it to. You just got to stay longer. And yeah, I got a chip on my shoulder. And this is my home now. Get out of here. The last person who did it at least was a girl. You're not even a girl. You're not going to take my spot. Get out of here. So. I mean, I know Nick Nemeth is going to win it, but I'm rooting for you, Maclin. Shh, don't tell nobody. Shh.
Steve, you're welcome. I did it. I did. We did it.
Guys, I'd say wrestling's done. We won. We won. Wrestling's over. We won.
This is completely different from what everyone said wrestling would be like when it ended. It ended with both of us praising Steve Maclin. It's game over, man. It's game over.
There's a joke there that I want to say, but I don't think it's appropriate for the air. Never mind. Next question.
Well, the good news is we're getting off the air because we have TNA Sacrifices tomorrow night. We will have a post show over on Fightful Overbooked. That is our sister channel, youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked. We'll have results over on Fightful.com. Cresta and I are here again, as we are every Thursday, talking about TNA Impact. Cresta, what else got going on?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you can catch me every Thursday and Saturday here on Fightful Thursdays. I go over everything with TNA with our homie Joe Pearl, and I go over all things Collision with Iridian and Rick over on Saturdays. Wednesdays I sometimes stream on my channel, but my whole schedule's about to change and my podcast is coming out, so this month and next month I can't wait to share it with you guys. It's going to be great. But if that's a lot, Cressidy Star on X, Twitter, whatever it is. There's a link tree in my bio. I just updated the link that has the playlist of all of our past post shows. So there's no reason why you're missing any TNA post shows. There's no reason why you're missing any Collision post shows, okay? I love you all. Joe Pearl, where can they find you?
Just don't go back and fact check us. I promise you, you will be upset.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Wait, listen, we're not the scoops people. You watch Sean. We're the jokes people.
It's fair. And also, like, sometimes I get it right and sometimes I don't. And sometimes I say something 1 week and then I change my mind the next week. And sometimes I just say, well, it's weird. Okay. Just don't.
I'm a dirty wrestling flip-flop. We're flip-flops. One moment we hate you. Next moment, oh my God, it's the best thing ever. Dirty flip-flops. That's what we all are.
Anyway, come and watch me flip-flop with Jeremy Lambert every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're on Fightful Overbooked. We get in the weeds at 10 a.m. Eastern until noon. We have guests, we have fun, we argue, and we probably joke and make you angry because that's just what we do. I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-R-L. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you for the Sacrifice post show. Sacrifice, 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 sacrifice.
As sacrifice.
Shout out, Jay White. Good night.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.